Beyond Pistons, your daily Detroit Pistons podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
What is happening? Welcome to the Locked On Pistons podcast, your episode for Monday, November 5th. And I got some big thoughts today about the Pistons on this Sunday night. By the way, Election Day coming up on Tuesday. Don't just plan to vote, but make your plans, plan your day so that you're able to get out there and vote. Just a little public service announcement here from the Locked On Pistons podcast. Your boy Matt Shook, a sports writer here in the Motor City, covering the NBA for the Associated Press and the Detroit News, a Pistons fan and follower my whole life, and a sports newspaper reporter for over a decade as well. Thanks to everyone for the listen, and what's up to the new listeners as well. Appreciate you guys spreading the word about the show. We talk Pistons here every day, reacting to games, analysis, guests, all that good stuff, interaction with you guys too, and I appreciate you guys being on board as the season has continued on, and the listenership is up, and I appreciate you guys doing the work out there, the foot soldiers for the Locked On Pistons podcast. Today we're going to break down Saturday's loss to the Philadelphia 76ers. That's four straight if you're counting for the Pistons, and like I said, I got a couple of big thoughts and ideas about this team as we're kind of staring into the abyss a little bit. I had that first thought of the season where I was heading up to Mount Pleasant on Saturday, and I wanted to catch the second half of the game, and was following the score and a little bit of the radio coverage online. And, you know, I just had that first thought of the season where I was like, I really don't want to watch the second half. And it's game eight, and I already had that thought. So just kind of some bigger questions that maybe I have about this team. We're also going to look ahead to tonight's game at home against the Miami Heat. But by the way, give me a follow on Twitter at @Matt_Shook, S-C-H-O-C-H, another underscore after that, also the Locked On Pistons Twitter account. And check us out on Facebook at Locked On Pistons-MattShook. All sorts of interaction with you guys all over the interwebs and social media and all those great places. But anyway, like as you know, the Pistons lost to the 76ers on Saturday afternoon. The final score was, let me pull that up. I didn't write down the final score, which was a bad job by me. 109-99 was the final for the Pistons. Blake Griffin, 38 points, 13 rebounds, 6 assists. Langston Galloway had 13 points off the bench. The only two players in double-figure scoring for the Pistons. Andre Drummond, 8 points and 9 rebounds in 21 minutes. Missed most of the first half, or missed most of the first quarter with foul trouble and was just struggling throughout. Who was not struggling was the guy going up against him in the post, Joel Embiid. 39 points and 17 rebounds, perhaps picked up some more real estate in Andre Drummond's head, maybe moving over to the east coast of his head now at this point. But 16 points for J.J. Redick, including the late dagger three when the Pistons had climbed back into it, got it down to 5. Embiid scored a basket, and then Redick with the tough three to get it back to 8. Back to 10, and that was pretty much all she wrote. Local interest to Wilson Chandler had 0 points, but the Benton Harbor native made his season debut for the Philadelphia 76ers. It's his first game with that team ever for him, so we'll keep an eye on him, and as we do all the Michigan guys from the great state of Michigan throughout the season. Ben Simmons, who is not from the state of Michigan, he's from Australia, he had 9 points, and it sounds like Stanley Johnson just did a good job on him throughout. Like I said, I did not watch the first half of the game, and basically saw the last half of the third quarter and then the fourth quarter. And sometimes, you know, when teams lose or down by 20, or Andre Drummond gets in early foul trouble, or Joel Embiid just going crazy, a guy that I do not like in the NBA. And I think the tide's starting to turn on him, by the way. And obviously, I interact a lot with Pistons fans. I follow a lot of the Pistons fans on Twitter. So there's reason for Pistons fans to not like Joel Embiid. But I feel like the tide maybe nationally is kind of like, you know, and he's a villain and he kind of owns it, and you got to respect that to some extent. But, you know, it gets a little old, that his antics out there, so to speak. But Reggie Jackson, 1 of 6 from three. We keep an eye on the three-pointers in the Dwayne Casey era now. Ish Smith, 1 of 6 for three. Stanley Johnson, 0 for 4 from three. For the team, 5 for 30, 16.7% three-point shooting. Awful, just absolutely awful shooting again for the Pistons, who are now 28th in the league in proficiency at 30.5%. So certainly not the shot spectrum that we were waiting for there. And in attempts, the Pistons are tied for 13th in the league at 32 a game. Again, early, just 8 games in. Certainly those numbers will hopefully improve for the Pistons, but they're right at league-wise, they're right about where they were last year during the Stan Van Gundy era, except being a much worse proficiency-wise. They were up in the top 6, I believe, last year, and now at 28th, and we'll see how that goes. But I think the bigger problem than the shooting is and it's not a great shooting team. Don't ever let me try to say that. But I just think the passing has not been good. I don't think that they're getting open threes. I don't think that they've adjusted to whatever Dwayne Casey's trying to do offensively other than the Blake Griffin post-ups, which should continue. Very good output out of those. But 16 assists for the team on Saturday. So down from their league worst average of 19 a game that they had going in. I wrote about that in the Detroit News on Saturday. Hopefully you guys saw that online Friday or Saturday as I was at practice. And talked to Dwayne Casey about that. The Pistons on Saturday were led in assists by Blake Griffin, who had six, which means that 8 games in, the Pistons still have not had a player get at least 7 assists in any single game this season, which, I mean, that's like hard to do. I mean, you guys have below average games and have 7 assists. You know, you should have someone that had double figures in assists at this point, 8 games, even if you aren't a team that scores 130 points a game or anything like that. Now the Pistons are further worse in the league. They're like worst by an assist and a half under number 29, which I believe is the Knicks. I mean, it's all bad teams at the bottom of that list, by the way. It kind of tells you something about where your team's at. And we know that the Pistons, even though they had that 4-game winning streak, there was, you know, a couple of shaky wins, even, you know, considering the fact that you got to get the win. That's the most important part. But you weren't really feeling so great about how this team was playing, maybe 1 or 2 games notwithstanding. But, you know, just ugly start. There's no other way to put it. 4-4 right now, 4-0 to start the season, 0-4 since then. And the Pistons will continue the week with a much easier week, thankfully. The schedule gods are shining on them this week as the Monday game tonight against the Miami Heat at 7 o'clock at Little Caesars Arena, and then back on the road for 2 more, but thankfully against 2 of the dregs of the NBA in the Orlando Magic and the Atlanta Hawks, a couple of teams with interesting rookies to watch. So teams that, you know, more entertaining than last year, but certainly teams that will be at the bottom of the Eastern Conference again. And a chance for the Pistons to go 3-0 this week, really, when you look at the schedule. I don't expect that to happen. I'm sure they'll probably looking at a 2-1 week, but we'll see. And then Charlotte, the beginning of next week, technically, with a 3:30 p.m. start at home at Little Caesars Arena on Sunday against the Hornets. And that will be, you know, starting during the last hour of the Lions game, so a little bit strange of a time to have a Pistons game there. But you can maybe watch the fourth quarter of the Lions and then switch over to the Pistons and Hornets, or maybe the Lions will be getting blown out by at that point. So we will see how that shakes down. But like I said, up next we're going to talk about the big questions for the Pistons as I'm a little bit of a you know, introspective time, I guess, when you're sitting there at 4-4 and saying, where are we at right now? Where is this team going? And, you know, which games do we believe? Do we believe the 4 wins or do we believe the 4 losses? We'll talk about that next. But is your company looking for a new way to reach customers? Your company could be mentioned right here, right now on the Locked On Pistons podcast. Podcast listeners are 60% more likely to interact with sponsors that they hear on their favorite shows. Our demographic is 98% males with more education and more earning power than your traditional media audiences. What's up, fellas? So have your company sponsor Locked On Pistons. Go ahead and email me at Matt_Shook, S-C-H-O-C-H, at yahoo.com to find out more details.
Yes, sir!
Later on, we will talk about tonight's opponent, the Miami Heat, coming to Little Caesars Arena, a red-letter game that we talk about, a team that's going to be jousting with the Pistons in the Eastern Conference standings, probably at the bottom of the playoff race there. But the Pistons, where do you stand with this team at 4-4? Has anything changed for you through 8 games? You have the 4 wins at the beginning, the 4 losses lately. It kind of feels like, in some ways, as I tape this late on Sunday night for preparation for Monday's game with the Heat, kind of feels like the season really is starting over again in some ways. You think about it, it's been pretty much a scratch, been a wash so far. The one nice win over Philly at home, but then the tough loss at Brooklyn. Other than that, it's really nothing notable as far as big wins or bad losses. And even those, the bad road loss at Brooklyn was the second half of a back-to-back. You figured that those are going to come and bite you sometimes on the road. And then the nice one against Philly, they didn't have Ben Simmons, so it's not exactly the most notable great feature win or anything like that. But has anything changed for you in how you perceive this team at 4-4, 8 games in, 1/10 of the season, pretty much done? But call me and leave a voice message or text the number and the Google Voice line that we have. We'll use your 2 cents on the show, 810-666-1546. Again, that's the Google Voice number. You can call that number or send a text message, and we'll read your responses to what do you think about this team? Where do you stand with this team at 4-4, and has anything changed? Again, that number, 810-666, Vinnie Johnson, Joe Dumars, Terry Mills, 810-666-1546. 8 games in, I do have something that has changed, and that's the unquestioned belief that Blake Griffin still has a lot left in the tank. And not only is that a good thing for obvious reasons, but it's also a good thing in that maybe you can construct the roster a little bit differently, knowing that he's your horse. And obviously, there's always the chance that he gets re-injured. And anytime your best player goes down, your season's probably going to be in the toilet, especially given how top-heavy the Pistons are at the top of the roster there. But we know his injury history is long. So you've got to kind of capitalize on this window here with Blake Griffin playing well, looking like he's in great shape. And given that the team is in win-now mode, I'm going to float an idea that I talked about going into the offseason, and that's to trade Andre Drummond. And it feels like something, and this is just me, a little bit of intuition, it feels like something might be coming with this team. The last time I said that, by the way, was the morning of the Blake Griffin trade. I'm not making any reports, haven't heard any rumors, but Dwayne Casey and Ed Stefanski, they came in and inherited this situation, so you wouldn't be surprised if they made big moves, took big swings to maybe get the team into their mold a little bit here going forward. But they have to be looking at the numbers, and I know it's early, but the numbers are ugly offensively. They have to be looking at what the offense looks like, and they don't see a lot of good signs, just like the rest of us. Not a lot of good options of things that can be done to reverse course the way that offensively. I know it's a process, and I know that hopefully things will get better going forward, but the shots just aren't there right now. I don't think it's a matter of guys being rusty and shooting three-pointers poorly at the beginning of the season, and it'll come. You know, just there's not a lot of open shots right now. And again, I'm not reporting anything that the Pistons are actively shopping anyone or anything like that. It's just an intuition that I have. Now, Andre, he's a good player, very good player, and we give him a little bit, maybe too much crap on here sometimes, and the fan base does too, a polarizing guy. But I'm curious about what his trade value might be on the open market. We know that rebounds, rebounders, and centers, they're not exactly what they used to be in today's NBA, so I feel like his value might vary wildly kind of depending on the suitor. I'm guessing there's a pretty extensive list of teams that would have absolutely no interest in talking about Andre Drummond and his trade situation. And the contract is a little bit scary for teams as well. He's a young guy, so it's not horrible, but you know, it's a lot of money to be wrapped up for the next 3 years after the season. I view Andre as a trade asset, not a huge one for the Pistons, but his contract isn't such at 25 years old that he's a negative asset or anything like that. There's a few of those on the Pistons roster, like Reggie Jackson, Langston Galloway, and John Luehr, who are guys that you'd have to attach things to in order to get rid of, just to get rid of them. Although Jackson expiring next year makes him more and more tradable by the day. Certainly this offseason when he becomes officially an expiring contract going into next year. So if he has a decent year this year, that might be something you could think about for the Pistons now. But looking around the league with the tanking with many teams and also the relative health at center with teams that Pistons the only team that put two big guys in the front court right now, so teams don't have that need for multiple power players or anything like that. Obviously not a whole lot of great candidates for trading partners out there right now, but the team that sticks out like a sore thumb as far as a team that might want to do a shakeup, need some help in the middle, they're sitting at 2-7 right now. It feels like a real fragile situation, and that's the Washington Wizards. It's a team like the Pistons who has, they're capped out. They don't have a lot of flexibility going forward. They've put a lot of investment into a health risk of their own in John Wall comparatively to Blake Griffin there. And with Dwight Howard out right now, he's only played one game. Not really sure about his injury status going forward. They're starting Jan Mahimny at center right now, which is not a good situation for them, not a good place for that franchise to be. They have to be thinking that maybe they got damaged goods with Dwight Howard in the trade, or if he is healthy, he's not exactly a guy known to help locker rooms and to boost struggling situations. So I don't do this often, but I played with the trade machine. I know a lot of you guys are disciples of the trade machine and use it all the time. So maybe you got your own trades out there with other teams, but what I came up with Andre Drummond and the Washington Wizards is this. I had the Pistons absorb Jan Mahimny in the deal. He has 2 years at $16 million left. So what that big contract does, and it's a bad contract. This is a negative asset, to be sure. So that helps match up the salaries. It takes on a bad asset, so you can get some more positive assets. So, you know, it's almost like the Pistons are part of the deal on the Pistons' end is taking Jan Mahimny from you. So it's kind of like they're giving up something, in, if you want to look at it that way. So the good assets and two other players that they would get in addition to Jan Mahimny would be Kelly Oubre, who is same as Stanley Johnson going into his restricted year this summer. And then Markieff Morris, who's an expiring player, going to be a free agent this summer as well. So it opens you up for some flexibility going forward, gives Markieff Morris, you know, you got to replace Andre Drummond's minutes, obviously. So maybe you move Blake to more of the five at times, put Markieff Morris, who could be a nice complement with his shooting and his overall toughness at the four spot as well. Zaza Pachulia obviously gets an uptick in minutes. And then you have Jan Mahimny, and like I said, a negative asset, but certainly a guy who can help you out with some minutes for here and there at the center position. Kelly Oubre, similar to Stanley Johnson in a lot of ways, better shooter, better scorer, probably not quite as good defensively, but another guy who I like his toughness. And like I said, you got to look around the league and look at teams that need to make shakeups, teams that are going in a direction where they could use a guy like Andre Drummond. Does this make Washington a lot better, putting Andre Drummond with Brad Beal and John Wall? I don't know. But again, a team that might be looking to shake things up in a front office that might need to make some changes, and a coach you in Scotty Brooks, who's probably on the hot seat, who might be willing to make a big move for a team that's trying to right the ship there in Washington as well. What do you think about that, guys? Do you have another trading partner that I'm missing that stands out to you? Obviously, it's a red letter team again with Washington, with a team that might be competing in it for a playoff spot with the Pistons. So awkward to make these kind of trades sometimes with some of the rivals in your same conference. But let me know what you think about that trade. Send me a note on social media, email. You got the Google Voice number as well. But by the way, the Locked On Podcast Network, we're doing some unprecedented things on Twitter and Instagram. On Twitter, follow Locked On NBA Net. And you get all the Locked On Podcast Network local hosts covering the NBA team all on one feed. They retweet my stuff. It's just the ultimate feed, the ultimate follow for NBA fans out there. It's amazing during games, breaking news, just get the local perspective on what's going on. On Instagram, the handle is Locked On NBA Net as well, and that's giving you the biggest stories in just 1 minute of your Instagram stories and longer cuts on the biggest stories in the feeds as well. So make sure you follow Locked On NBA Net on both Twitter and Instagram. But up next, we're going to be talking about the Miami Heat, tonight's opponent. That's next here on the Locked On Pistons podcast, which is a proud member of the Locked On Network, your team every day. And I know it's disappointing times to be a Lions fan after another loss on Sunday against the Vikings, but Matt Derry still has you covered for everything you need to know about the Lions with the Locked On Lions podcast. You know Matt Derry from Detroit Radio. He has a daily look at the Leos, so check that out on the network as well. The number one local sports daily podcast network. I'll be spending a lot of time in Allen Park this week, Monday, Tuesday, and Friday. So excited to be around those Lions writing for the Detroit News. But also in town, the Miami Heat tonight, already jousting with the Pistons for one of those final playoff spots, as we figure might be the case throughout the season. Miami is 3-5 this year, currently just outside of the Eastern Conference's top eight. Brooklyn is in, by the way. We will see if the Nets have staying power. But kind of like the Pistons, and even more so, you might be a disappointed 4-4 if you're a Pistons fan. 3-5, not the worst record in the world, but looking at how easy their schedule has been so far, certainly a very disappointing way for Eric Spoelstra's team to start the season. They are coming in on a three-game losing streak to not exactly the powers of the NBA, losing at home to the Sacramento Kings to start the three-game losing streak, and then losing on the road to Charlotte and Atlanta. So looking at who they've played, I cannot imagine a team has played an easier schedule yet to start off the NBA season. We've got some the New York Knicks are in there. Portland's like the only kind of decent team that they've played so far. Washington's struggling, Orlando, the Knicks, Charlotte twice. Like I said, the Kings, the Hawks. I mean, this is a team that really, given that schedule, should be more like 6-2 or something like that, but really struggling so far this year. Dwayne Wade's final season, we know about that. Not the last time he'll be playing at Little Caesars Arena, but one of his last couple times playing in Detroit. Josh Richardson's on a scoring binge right now. He scored 32 in the loss on Saturday to Atlanta, the second career high for him in 1 week. So he's out of his mind right now. A lot of hype about him coming into the season. And been mentioned with the Jimmy Butler rumors as well. Not much else going right for the Heat besides Josh Richardson playing well. They folded down the stretch, didn't score in the final 3 minutes of the game on Saturday against Atlanta. Really probably another team that might need a shakeup. We talked about Washington and the trade machine earlier. Maybe you have some ideas of yourself. I'm sure that the bad losing streak is music to Tom Thibodeau's ear in terms of leverage with the talks with the Miami Heat. I still expect Jimmy Butler to eventually be in Miami, probably soon, with Butler sitting out some games for the Timberwolves lately as well. The Heat threw up 43-point attempts on Saturday, so expect a lot more of that for your entertainment value. The defense has been bad for Miami lately, giving up over 120 points to those middling teams these last few games. Goran Dragic, he did not play on Saturday because of foot pain. No word on whether he's going to be able to go tonight against the Pistons. Wayne Ellington played on Saturday for the first game of his season, so he's still getting in game shape. We know that his best skill is his superior athleticism, running his man around in screens and around the court is all over the place. And that part of his game might be a little bit hampered as he gets back from his left ankle injury. Rodney Magruder is playing really well for the Heat. Who's Rodney Magruder? Funny you should ask. He was injured pretty much most of last year, was pretty good for the Heat a couple years ago as a starter a lot of times, but that was his first year with the Heat 2 years back. He's getting like 15 points a game right now. Nice for a guy that a lot of fans, like I said, have never heard of. He's a Kansas State guy, bounced around a bit before landing with Miami after a nice summer league for them a few years ago. Given the Dragic uncertainty and also the uncertainty surrounding Reggie Bullock going into tonight's game, he did not play on Saturday but practiced on Sunday with the team at the Palace of Auburn Hills. Questionable tonight, according to James Edwards III of The Athletic, who was out of practice. So no line because of that. So because of the injuries, probably more so with Dragic, the uncertainty about whether he'll play. No Vegas line available as I tape this podcast, but maybe if there's news that comes across from the 130 injury update or news about Bullock's availability, news about Dragic's availability, maybe there is a line out there that you guys can find. So I'll leave that to the degenerates to find it on their own. But give us a follow, by the way, on Twitter at @Matt_Shook, S-C-H-O-C-H, another underscore after that. Also the Locked On Pistons Twitter account. Give the Facebook page a like at Locked On Pistons-MattShook, and give us a rating and review on iTunes as well. Thanks, you guys, for listening. We'll have the recap for tonight's game on tomorrow's show. We'll also look ahead a little bit. And let me know what you think about this team. 8 games into the season, give us a call, 810-666-1546. We will play the voicemails. We'll read the text messages. And I appreciate you guys and the interaction that we've had so far this season. Only looking to grow the listeners and the games and the fun and the giveaways and the sponsors, all the stuff that I appreciate you guys with the help that you've been giving. And this is your host, Matt Shook, saying enjoy the game tonight. And we will talk to you guys tomorrow.